away we go. We're on the air on this Wednesday, February the 16th, 2022, 16 and a half minutes past the hour. Scott Spears here with Glenn Coble. Glenn, I've put tape on the microphone since people kept messing with the microphone sound, so now I've fixed that problem, remedied it.
What microphone sound?
The knob. People were messing with the knobs.
Which knob?
The one for this microphone that I'm on. I'd come in the morning and it would be adjusted.
Oh.
Don't forget today, A Progressive Life with Glenn Coble, 12:15 until 1 p.m. Then yeah. We've got Offbeat News and Trivia with Nate Redmond, 4:10 to 5 p.m. And then we've got, see that pink tape there? Duct tape.
No, I don't see it.
Right there.
Oh.
Yeah.
I never messed with that anyway.
Somebody did. Nobody. That's everybody's answer. I never did it. Somebody was.
I didn't do it.
Offbeat News and Trivia with Nate Redmond at 4:10 p.m. Live at 5, the show with no name, Pastor Craig, Terry, and Nate at 5:15. And then...
And I didn't lose the key.
Hey, I'm not done.
I didn't lose the key.
Trinity Baptist Church Sunday service from 6:10 until 7 p.m. Oh, you never get in the way of a promo, Glenn.
I didn't realize you were done.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Okay.
And I didn't lose the key.
The key?
Remember?
What key did you... Oh, to the bathroom?
Key gate.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Glenn, well, if you're just tuning in, if you're a new listener, Kent...
Whatever his name is
over there, Glenn lost the key when we were at the last location, the bathroom. Well, that's you and Terry. I don't care who. All I know is I couldn't. I had nowhere to go to the restroom when I came in the morning, and that was a problem.
That's bad.
When we were at the old location, we had the whole floor had a restroom, but it wasn't public, so you had to have a key. And I came in one morning, and the key was gone. And how are you going to go to the restroom? There's nowhere to go. So basically, what happened was I had always hidden away a second key, which I always did keep hidden. Yeah. But the key hung on the wall.
Yeah.
And I asked Terry where the key was because he had been there the night before with you. And he said you had lost it. You had went to the restroom. And you said you didn't lose it. Now, we ended up finding out that somebody had just hung it on another hook in the office. How that happened. I have hung it on a poster.
Yeah, that
yeah, it didn't make any sense to me. So there was the whole key gate. You and Terry about how to slug it out over that one.
Nah, I'd never.
Who's the most likely person?
Terry, kill me.
Who's the most likely person to lose a key? Would it have been you or Terry?
I would say Terry.
Oh, well, let's see what the audience thinks. Does anybody have an opinion on this? You know both these jokers. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. I hear this show at... I always catch the end of Nate's show because I'm in the car, because that's when school lets out.
Yeah.
And I hear all these people saying, I enjoy that show at 5 o'clock. I enjoy that show at 5 o'clock. I've heard it once, and I'm glad people enjoy it.
You mean the show with no name?
Okay. Yeah, whatever you want to call it. But I'm not sure what it is. I'm glad it is.
I tuned it in because I didn't know what it was, and I still didn't know.
You didn't know what it was. So what it, I mean, I would really like to know. I'm with all sincerity here. What is it that people like? Because they're not giving away anything.
You look very sincere right now.
Very sincere. 740-383-9944. The only thing I can think of is that they are likable people.
Yes, that's the show.
Yeah, I think that must be it.
And it's like you're showing my this show.
Yeah.
We have a conversation, and that's all they're doing is having a conversation.
Yeah, and I also think it's on at a good time. It's the only show we have that's live at the drive home, 5 to 6. Yeah. So I think that's also interesting.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Other than that, I'm not really sure.
Well, I like all three of those people that are on it.
Is your mic still on?
I don't know. It just
did you? Okay, keep talking.
All right.
There you go.
Maybe it's in the connection.
Maybe it's in the cord.
I just bent it and it worked. Okay, I won't touch it anymore.
You're good now.
I like all three of those guys that do it. And so I when I turned it on, I did find it fun. I
mean, yeah, it's a fun show. I'm not sure. If I had to give it a premise, I'm not sure that I could.
I don't think there is one.
No, I'm not sure, but it's a good show.
That's why it has no name.
Well, I don't know why they're so beholden to that. I think it's because Terry made business cards or something. I I don't know what happened
what
there.
What did you call it? You had a name for it.
Live at 5.
Oh, Live at
What's
5.
Wrong with Live at
it
5?
Sounds like
Glenn.
A news show.
Holy mackerel. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, Scott. Good morning, Glenn. It's Pastor Craig.
Hey, Pastor. How you doing?
There's the one of the three that I don't like.
I can tell you what it is that people like about our show.
Oh, okay.
And that is if they stop in while we're on the air, we hand out $20 bills.
Is that what it is?
I'll be here.
Listen, I know they must be coming out of Nate or your pocket because I've never seen Terry part with any kind of money in my life.
No, but in all seriousness, I didn't know, you never know how many people are listening or who's listening or whatever.
Yeah.
But in the last couple weeks, I've received several emails from listeners, and they're listeners who don't call in. And I know Nate's received a few emails, and I think one email said it best, and that was I had a woman write in and said, "Hey, I love your show. It makes me feel like I'm sitting down at the dinner table with
a
friend."
Yeah, that's what I was saying, that it does. It's very conversational. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like
so,
it.
So, I mean, I guess that's what people seem to like.
Well, and I think it's got a great time slot. I believe it's the only live show on this station that's on at 5 o'clock.
Yes.
And probably the only one in the area.
Oh, probably, yeah. Well, and also, it is funny to me because the best I've been able to figure when I heard it the one time is that the pastor will bring up a subject, Terry will go bananas on that subject and try to amp it up about 17 notches, and then Nate will have to draw him back down in what he suggests.
You've got it figured out.
That's exactly what
that's
I hear.
Formula.
Did you ever get the hot dogs?
No, we never got the hot dogs. And I had 2 weeks. The 2 weeks when I was going to do it, I was running late because of work. And so we didn't get them. And then last week, it was my birthday on that day. And so I treated the guys to cupcakes. I brought cupcakes in.
Oh. Now, did Terry tear into those?
It took 3 seconds.
Well, no. What percentage ended up on his shirt? Now, be honest.
Probably only 10%.
Only 10? It must have been a good day for it. I'm so glad to hear it's going well, because I love hearing people call into Nate's show saying they enjoy the next hour. I find that fascinating. I think that anything that's good for this station is good for this station, and that seems to be a real positive.
Yeah, and like I said, we've gotten some very positive emails, so I guess it's working.
But I don't know. In your opinion, do you think Nate really likes Terry? I don't know.
Well,
Nate likes everyone.
I've got to watch my words closely. I mean, we're on the air.
Let me preface it with this to get you off the hook a little bit. I'm not saying that he dislikes him like I dislike that person. Just that on the air, they seem to have very stark, different approaches to how they approach that show.
Yeah, because, I definitely so. Because Terry, actually, you could just let him ramble on for 45 minutes.
You didn't
have any guardrails up.
Yeah.
So I think Nate kind of, Nate sits in the chair. So he's, watching for the phone, and he's watching the time and that type of thing. So I think he kind of sees it as his job to kind of keep Terry under control.
Well, I still believe I believe it was the first time you guys did that show, when Terry suggested that Nate get rid of Ladies Corner on his show, I believe there's been animosity ever since. Make that the lead topic tonight.
Yeah, I agree. Hey, last week, you ought to pull it up and listen to it sometime. Last week, I did a physical description of the Cardinals downtown, three of the Cardinals statues, because I'd never seen them before. So I went down the Sunday before, took pictures of them, and then I described them on the air, and I'm going to do another three of the Cardinals tonight.
Oh, that'll be interesting.
Perfect. They are interesting. I like the idea.
But you know what? Hey, I want to say this. I was in Delaware last weekend, and I've been to Delaware a lot, and it never dawned on me. Do you know Delaware has a Rutherford B. Hayes statue right there in front of Amato's Pizza in Delaware? You know, of all the things, we have schools named after Harding. We have the Harding Memorial. We have Harding blah, blah, blah. We do not have a statue of President Harding anywhere in this town.
Yeah,
and that's really kind of strange because you even have the Harding House.
Yeah, right.
And you know, you think there'd be a statue somewhere?
Somewhere.
I mean, down in front of City Hall, there's a time capsule from 1990.
Yeah. Well, I just think when you brought up the Cardinals, I think how can and I'm not saying anything bad about the Cardinals. People get angry about that, but I'm just saying we have Cardinals, but no statue of President Harding anywhere in this city.
Yeah, it is kind of strange. I agree 100%.
Huh. Yeah. Well, I look forward to it tonight. 5:15.
All right. We'll see you guys.
Thanks, Pat.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, that really kind of did shock me. I never thought about that all the years I've lived here. But when I was maybe I've never paid attention to the statue in Delaware, but I was there on Saturday, and I was looking at Amato's because I know Amato's is about to open up here, and there's this big statue of Rutherford B. Hayes right there on the corner, big one.
Yeah.
And I thought, boy, he's more obscure than President Harding, and all the touting we do of President Harding here, and we don't have a statue anywhere of him?
We don't even have a bust of him in the City Hall?
I can't think of anything that we have a President Harding around here.
Yeah.
And we're big into statues in this country. We love to put them up, and we love to tear them down.
Well, he wasn't a Confederate, so there were...
No, but he got around. He was a ladies' man.
Yeah, he seemed to be.
I was in the cemetery last weekend. Yes. Went over and visited one of President Harding's very close friends, Kerry Phillips.
And you also took picture of where he and his wife were encrypted.
The receiving vault.
Yeah.
Yeah, till 1927.
What a nice name, receiving vault. I want a receiving vault.
When I depart, I want to go to the receiving vault. That's where I want to be.
Give me about 3 or 4 years in the receiving vault.
And then
there for 7 years, weren't they?
He died in 23, and she died, I believe, in 24.
Yeah.
So he was there for 4 years.
Oh, okay.
And she was there for 3.
Okay.
But
combined 7 years.
Well, any way you can be right in your mind, any way you can justify it, you go right ahead. You'll never be on Live at 5 with this attitude.
I know.
Never make that type of show.
And that is my ultimate goal.
Holy, you're never going to be invited. I'm totally off track.
I'm sorry,
now. What were we talking
messed
about?
You up. We were talking about...
Oh, Bob Mason. Bob Mason is buried over there, the founder of broadcast in Marion. And I think it's sad to me because clearly his kids were not buried there and they moved on to different cities. And it's just he and his first wife, and he's been dead since 66, that nobody knows it. And that is a very, very prominent man in Marion history.
Well, you posted it on Facebook.
I hope people go visit it.
I have no idea who he is, so...
Well, he was the man who started WMRN, which essentially started broadcast in Marion.
I saw that's kind of what you said on it, and I still didn't know. So,
no, but go over and visit now,
okay.
Because it's in the first row, which tells you he had some dough. It's in the first row after the Harding Memorial.
Well, I had a hard time finding the Queens, the Gypsy Queens.
Gypsy
place.
Queen, yeah.
Yeah.
So I love the cemeteries. I think they're fascinating.
Well, don't get that.
I hope to end up there one day. I'll be a permanent resident one day over there. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, I had a slim shot of getting in that receiving vault.
Really?
Really?
Yeah, I'll tell you the story. In the new cemetery, there are above-ground crypts.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm talking about?
Right.
Yeah, sure.
There are now 4 of them. There were 3 of them. Winter, spring, summer were built a number of years ago. And last year, they decided to build a 4th one because they had demand. So my wife and I decided that'd be a great place for us to end up. So we went down to the cemetery and bought space in the new crypt, Fall, which is called Fall. So I said to the lady, I said, well, when will this be built? We bought these in June of last year. She said, well, we're hoping that we can build it sometime in the fall, October, November, get it done before winter. I said, I got one question for you. What happens if I die before fall is built. Well, where am I going to go? She says, we'll put you up in the receiving vault.
Oh, there you go.
I had a slim chance.
Wow.
but I outlived it. So.
You outlived the chance.
Yeah, I outlived the chance.
You know what I'm shocked about is really, and I don't know, the Historical Society, there are so many interesting things in that cemetery and so many interesting people. I mean, everybody knows about the Merchant Ball, and I understand why that's important. But
sure.
There is the mystery. Is Eber Baker buried there? Carrie Phillips is buried there. The receiving vault's there. Bob Mason. President Harding. It's kind of fascinating, the things that are in that cemetery.
Oh, absolutely. And believe it or not, when we have people stop at the museum for a tour of Heritage Hall, we always mention those things about the cemetery. And hopefully people will take the time and go out there.
I hope so.
Now, of course, you can't cover them all, but naturally we always send them to the ball, to the merchant plot, and always point out the Browns, where you go in and the little girl's holding the basket. That's another very famous one. And of course, I don't know that we'll ever be able to prove the Eber Baker thing, because we've gone back into records, and there's no indication in what we have at Heritage Hall that would indicate that, yes, he was moved, no, he wasn't.
Well, does anybody know? Because, I mean, it would have been civilized times, because Quarry Street did not close until after the Marion Cemetery opened.
Right.
So where in the world did the records of go from Quarry Street?
Well, you would have assumed that they would have been, I think Quarry Street was a municipal cemetery. I can't say that for sure. I'd have to ask one of the people that's more in the know about cemeteries in the county. But I think it was a municipal cemetery, and if it were, you would have thought that there would have been some record in the municipal records. But over the years, a lot of the records were destroyed, done away with, misplaced. I don't know what happened to them. But as I said, we don't have any record at Heritage Hall that proves one way or the other whether the body was actually exhumed and moved.
Well, I think the Marion Cemetery has pretty well answered this question without offending whoever came up with the idea. Has anybody ever came up with who said he was moved?
No, I'm not to my knowledge. Anyway.
Right, and I think they've answered it because they have said, basically, in our records, there is no record of anybody being there.
Right.
So I think that pretty well says it.
A lot of the issue with the Quarry Street Cemetery, of course, there were a lot of cholera victims buried there. So I think that was one of the reasons why that maybe space that the new cemetery was started because of the cholera epidemic and outbreak here in Marion County. So.
Well, I don't even know how they would have found him, to be honest.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
I mean, they might have just picked two people up and taken them over there. I don't know. But, yeah, that's going to be what I wish. There's got to be some way to see if there is anything in that spot.
Yeah, they have that ground radar.
Ground radar.
Yeah,
right.
But there's no record at the Marion Cemetery, and I know there are records that date back to day one there. So the fact that nothing was ever put in there, that should say something.
I would think, I would think. A few years ago, we did get a grant to put a new fence around that cemetery because that all started because during the Popcorn Festival, one of the Popcorn Festivals years ago, people were starting to pull in there and park.
Yep, they parked down there, yep.
Oh,
and I remember
parking,
that.
They were parking over top of supposedly graves. So that was one of the reasons why the Historical Society got interested in getting some courtside of a sort of a fence put up, and that tower that's in there now was actually they're the ones that gave us a grant to pay for that fence.
Well, I just wish the Eber Baker thing could be answered because find a grave is a big thing now on the internet.
Right.
And if people are going to the wrong spot to pay homage to this man, because people do things with him. And
that's true.
If they're going to the wrong cemetery, this is horrible.
Yeah, it is. I agree with you 100%, but I don't know what the answer is. I really don't.
We got to find this. Somebody's got to have a sonar to see if there's anything in that hole.
On a lighter note, you were talking, I think, on one of the morning shows here not too long ago, or somebody called in, about the Cardinals.
Yes.
You know, there are half a dozen, I think, six or seven, that aren't out yet.
Right. There's supposed to be 17, aren't there?
However, they have been delivered to their appropriate sites. I guess what happened, because we have ours, the Historical Society has ours, is in the Popcorn Museum right now. You can see it there. Apparently what happened is the outfit, and I can't remember who it was now, it's just slipped off the top of my head. This is an old age thing. The company that was installing them outside closed up, sold, and went out of business. Huh. And, of course, it happened in the fall of the year with winter coming on. So now, in the meantime, somebody else has been contracted to set these once the weather is good, sometime this spring. So the ones that are not out yet will be out sometime early spring or very early summer. So like in our case, ours is the Swamp Fox, Francis Marion. If you want to see it, once the museum opens back up for the weekends in March, you can stop and see it. It's in the Popcorn Museum. And it's actually, they're fairly light. They're made out of fiberglass so that people can move it. So when they go outside, they have to be properly installed or they'll blow away.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, hey, thanks, Fred.
But we think we've got the nicest looking one.
There you go.
Now, who decides how they'll be colored and stuff?
Well, I'm not sure whether Brandy had a say in that or not. And again, I think maybe a lot of it depended on who your cardinal was supposed to be patterned after.
Okay.
So, when you get a chance, of course, Glenn, you've never been to Heritage Hall.
I know.
I'm going to drag you down there kicking and screaming one of these days.
No.
But for anybody that wants to see ours, just stop at Heritage Hall in March when we open up for the weekends and they can see it. And then come time for them to be placed outside. And I'm not sure where Brandy's decided to put ours yet. I haven't asked her. But they are all done and they all will be installed. And back in the fall, before we closed up for the season, I was docenting one day, and I was outside doing something, and then everybody in the museum, and a family came up. I think it was Grandma and Grandpa and four kids, and they were in the process of looking for all the cardinals, which I thought was kind of interesting, and they were local people, and they thought it would be something good for them to do because they had the grandkids for the weekend, and it would be something educational and entertaining for them. So they were looking for them, and obviously they weren't all out yet. I think at that time, maybe only 8 or 9 of them were out, something like that. So, but I think they'll attract attention. Other communities have done it. Tiffin has squirrels located throughout the community. If you go down to Zanesville, because Zanesville is, you know, a big pottery capital, they have urns down there throughout the town. And someplace else that I knew of that had something, and I've forgotten now. But anyway, it's something that's, I guess, catching on in other communities.
Is there a cardinal map? Is there a place?
Yeah, you can ask. Yes, there is. In fact, I think down at the Visitors and Conventions Bureau, they have a map that shows you the locations.
Okay.
And I believe in that tourist guide that comes out every year, the one that'll be coming out for 2022, there should probably be some information in there. And I think we have a list of where they're all going to be, too, at the Historical Society. So.
Cool. Yeah, very good.
Yeah, no. All right, guys, have a good day.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, telephone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Remember, if the line's ringing busy, just means we're on the line with somebody else. 39 minutes past the hour. Well, we've got no statue of President Harding, and we don't know where the founder of the town is buried. Eber Baker.
We are at a loss.
We're at a loss. We don't know. Who said that he was moved? That's what we really need to figure out here. Because I wonder why that became a thing. Was it because the old cemetery was closed?
And did anybody say why he should have been moved?
Well, that's a good question, too, because probably because the old cemetery was abandoned.
Okay.
And we didn't want him in an abandoned cemetery, which is kind of odd as well, because Benjamin Franklin's in an abandoned cemetery. Right in the middle of Philadelphia there.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. So I don't know why it would have been such a big deal, because you can't build on a cemetery.
Right, you can't.
It's not like anybody can build over on Quarry Street where that all is. So why would leaving him there have been such a horrible thing?
That's a good question. I have no answers for you.
And by the way, he owned the land that that cemetery was built. He donated it. So why would you take him off the cemetery he wanted to be buried
Absolutely.
In?
Absolutely. It's his property. Leave him there.
Right. Leave him there. Which he might still be there. We really don't know.
Is it still legal to bury your family members in your own yard?
Well, I don't know. Some people have done it. I don't know if it's illegal in Ohio or not.
Now, my wife and I are going to be cremated, and my mother and father were both cremated, and I can see where maybe a cremated person could be poured on their backyard, but I don't know that it's legal to bury a full cadaver in your backyard.
Hard to tell.
Yeah.
Does anybody know anything about the big Eber Baker story?
I'd like to hear that.
Or where would we put a President Harding statue? They've put it in front of Amato's over Rutherford B. Hayes in Delaware. Of course, Rutherford B. Hayes' childhood home, I think, was torn down to make way for a gas station in Delaware. poor Rutherford.
It was on the south side of town, wasn't it?
Yeah, there's a sign
yeah.
there that says this was his childhood home. So there's that problem.
The gas station was his childhood home?
Yeah. Okay. But why do people get so offended when you point out the picadillos of presidents, as if great presidents couldn't have picadillos?
Yeah, I would say every president in our history has had a picadillo, as you call it.
Well, I mean, don't you... I think President Lincoln... I don't know why that's such an obscene rumor. It's been out there for years now that he might have had... why is it okay... Now, see, here's the problem. Why is it okay to say that James Buchanan most likely was
gay?
Well, I mean, is that... I mean, do you say... I don't know what you say anymore.
Well,
gay, okay.
As you know, I'm going to be the person to depict him in...
Lucky you.
Yeah. And so therefore, I've been doing a lot of reading about him, and almost all of them avoid saying that.
Well, I love when people come up and say, well, Abraham Lincoln was absolutely not. Well, how do you know?
They were there.
Were you there with him? I mean, what? How can anybody say definitively anything
about
any? And who cares? But if it's a fact or even a... why does that rumor hurt him?
I don't know.
I don't understand. Nobody cares if they say it about Buchanan.
Yeah, well, I think people do, but...
Do they?
That's
who, the Buchanan family?
Well, I think that's why I couldn't find it when I was reading information about Buchanan. Nowhere does it say he was definitely homosexual.
Well, like I said earlier on, and I guess I will say it one more time, John Adams was the only of the big three... George Washington, Thomas three. Jefferson, and John Adams, the first three, who did not own slaves and had written basically that this was a wrong thing to do.
I was just surprised yesterday. I was reading an article that said that George Washington is the only president in the United States to win with unanimously.
Well, yeah.
I didn't know they voted.
Well, very few, I think.
Yeah.
Very few. But I don't know, you know, why is it wrong to point out these things?
Well?
Like I said, John Adams should be given greater, what would we call that now? Social understanding. I think John Adams, of the first presidents, clearly to me, I think he was more of a curmudgeon. I think he... believed what he believed. He was stubborn. He lived a lot longer than the other two.
Yeah.
Age-wise, he lived to be 90 in those days. But I think he just socially, clearly, because the social issue in those days was slavery, John Adams didn't buy that.
Was he from Virginia?
Do you? You know, I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe the state he lived in was not pro-slavery, and maybe that's why he didn't have slaves.
Well, don't you wonder why, though, that Washington and Jefferson were...
Well, both of them were from southern states.
Right, but it's interesting to me that Adams was the architect of their lives. That Adams was the one who persuaded George Washington.
Yeah.
Said, this is the guy you need to be the general. And had he not have been the general, we might not be here.
Yeah.
And had he not been the general, he certainly wouldn't have been the first president. So that's all due to John Adams. And Thomas Jefferson was not going to write the Declaration of Independence. It's John Adams who said Thomas Jefferson should write the Declaration of Independence. So the two most important events in the history of this country that started it, George Washington being made the general and Thomas Jefferson writing the Declaration, were both at the handiwork of John Adams. Had there not been John, so to me, he's the leader.
He's the main cause of it.
He's the cause.
He is from Massachusetts. I just looked it up. So he was a northerner. So.
And he lived a long life. Go ahead, caller.
Adams was from Quincy, Massachusetts.
Quincy, well, don't you find that he really does get a raw shake?
Yeah, in some regard. I think a lot of that started when he came in second fiddle to Washington as the first president. He thought he should have been elected as president over Washington.
But I also,
but of course, with Washington's popularity because of the war, naturally, and being the commander-in-chief, so to speak, of the Continental Army, he had a leg up.
Well,
but yeah, I do agree. I do agree that Adams is oftentimes maligned and not given due credit for what he did and what he actually was responsible for.
Well, and I think it created, I don't think it created it with Washington because Washington died so young, but the animosity that Adams had, which I think he did have, I mean, we'll never really know. He certainly had it toward Thomas Jefferson for a period.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
But,
although they did make up in the end.
They did make, and I think he did have some animosity for Washington, but I think he was so right in having that animosity, because had he was the one who said Washington should be general, Washington didn't want to do it.
Right, absolutely.
And Adams is the main one who convinced him, and the same thing with the Declaration of Independence. Adams is the, Jefferson was kind of skittish, and some people even thought Adams should write it, and Adams said, no, Jefferson should write this.
Right, absolutely.
So I think, you know, his anger at not being recognized by those two, they both became famous and powerful because of him changing their minds.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah.
People need to read the book John Adams that was written by David McCullough.
David McCullough. Great book.
Very, very excellent book. And there's also another book out about Mrs. Adams, and it basically dwells on the letters between John Adams and Abigail while he was away. And he was away most of their married life.
Well, and also, again, he was the father. I mean, it's only happened twice. Father of a president.
Right.
And also, again, of those first three, the only one who didn't own slaves and wrote to the fact of how corrupt it was, bad it was.
Now, given to Washington's credit, he had made arrangements that upon his death, his slaves were all freed.
Yeah. Wasn't there one that he freed earlier, though?
Manservant. I don't remember the name of that individual,
yeah.
But you're right.
But isn't it interesting, when you read Adams' writings about slavery, I mean, it could have been written in the day of Abraham Lincoln, when it was even much bigger. Mm-hmm. Adams, from the beginning, really understood what was wrong with it. I mean, Washington did free them when he died, and well, Thomas Jefferson, that's a whole nother bailiwick.
Yeah, right.
with that. But
yeah,
when it,
other things going on.
Yeah, other things there.
Yeah.
But when Adams really understood why it was wrong.
Right, and I think some of that could be from the fact that he was from Massachusetts and not from Virginia.
Right.
Because a lot of the northern thinking in those days did not agree with the slavery.
Right.
I mean, really, that's where the whole thing got started.
Yeah.
But
I think it's interesting.
See, that's what makes history so fascinating, and the fact that we can all have varied opinions on what we have read.
I didn't realize that I read an interesting fact when I was looking into the critter that I'm going to try to depict. I was looking at all presidents, and I didn't realize that Thomas Jefferson and John Adams were both died on the same day.
Yeah, right.
And it was July 4th.
Yeah, absolutely.
50th anniversary.
Yeah, they corresponded for a number of years by mail in the latter years of their life, and that's really where they became friends and not enemies, so to speak, when they got older. Speaking of Buchanan, real quickly, he was basically left standing at the altar. He did have a a woman that he was ready to marry, and I don't know whether she was a obviously she didn't go through with it, but so whether she got cold feet or whether she found out something about him that wasn't known or what, I don't know. But there's always been an underlying thought by most historians that he was a gay man, and he did live with another man for a number of years.
Now, but why? Because there have been those rumors about Lincoln as well. Why is it okay to throw that on Buchanan but not Lincoln? Because it all is just an assumption. We're never really going to know.
There's no proof one way or the other.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's not like J. Edgar Hoover who flaunted it. Basically.
But, well, you know what? We had that J. Edgar Hoover expert on here not too long ago, and, you know, I'm not even sure that that was true anymore. How that all came about, you know, the only person who ever said, I mean, yes, he did have a close relationship with his deputy, but there are not any pictures or anything like that, and it was a lady who had perjured herself who's the one who said that in a book.
That's true.
I don't know that Hoover was. I mean, I really don't know. I mean, likely it looks that way.
But I'm with you, though. I don't have any problem if people want to assume something, if they want to make a statement of it. You know, statements are statements. It's backing it up with a fact is what really makes a difference.
Right, but I guess to me, we can assume anything about Lincoln and we can assume anything about Buchanan, but if I say Buchanan was gay, a lot of people will go, yeah, that's probably true.
Yeah, true.
If I say Lincoln's gay, they want to put you out in the front yard.
Yeah, they'll fight you.
Yeah. So it's a weird thing.
The only thing I'll say that's different about between Buchanan and Lincoln is Lincoln was a very good president. Buchanan was a terrible
president. That's it. You got it.
He left a lot of problems for poor Lincoln coming in that he could have taken care of, but he chose to sit on his hands the last 2 years of his administration.
Yeah.
Sorry I gave you such a duck to work
Now, one of the interesting things in some of my study on him, I found out that he did date other women, and one of the women said of him after the fact that he was not romantically inclined, and she said, oh, if he's anything, he's probably both ways.
Yeah.
So, he's both ways.
And I've heard that assumption, too, that his garden gate swung both ways.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? The Lincoln thing, on the final note on that, you know, we clearly know nobody has a problem saying that his wife, Mrs. Todd...
She was mean.
that she was mean, but that she was also very distant, and there was not much of a relationship there at all.
She had a lot of mental issues.
She did.
Yeah, she was schizophrenic and a couple of other things.
And so, she had a child. Two children die, right?
To terms here in Marion that President Harding had... Some friends.
Deep pot. Oh, sure.
Yeah. That's the way it goes.
The thing with Mrs. Lincoln was she was institutionalized. Her son institutionalized her at one point. So there wasn't any question about her, but she had atrocious spending habits, which I think came from her mental disabilities.
You could be right. Yeah.
But listen in tomorrow. We're going to talk about some little-known stories from the White House.
Oh, look forward to it. Yeah. Thank you.
All right. Take care, guys.
Bye-bye. 10 a.m. till 12 noon tomorrow. It is true. And isn't it interesting that Buchanan and Lincoln were of the same time?
Yeah, exactly the same time. One butted into the other, yeah.
Sat on his hands.
Yeah.
After that conversation,
I'm not sure why Fred decided I was the guy to do it.
Well, I don't know.
I'm looking forward to it.
Though. Well, in the grand scheme of things, though, who cares if these people were?
But, you know, if you have to play the guy and you have to stay in character, how am I going to respond to questions about that?
Well,
I think I'm going to play it like...
Back in his day?
No.
Yeah, well... I think he would have said no.
I would have... thought he said I can't remember the king, I think was his friend's name, and I think he will say something like Senator King was a great friend of mine, and that's
he certainly would not have admitted openly
not
to
at that time.
No, that wouldn't have gone over well.
No, it wouldn't.
But that's history.
Yeah.
And I think people get very attached to certain parts of history. People are attached to Obama. People are attached to Trump. People are attached to George Washington and Thomas Jefferson and John Adams and Lincoln. And it is interesting. Kennedy. There are people who they get very attached to these people, and you cannot give them constructive criticism. And I don't know. But then there are presidents who, Millard Fillmore, Buchanan, Jerry Ford, people just kind of go, okay, well, whatever.
No matter what they wishy-washy.
Yeah, wishy. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Adams does get a little bit of appreciation.
Who?
Adams, John Adams.
Well, I think you should get a lot of appreciation. Yeah.
They named the beer after him.
Well, they certainly did.
It's not bad.
They certainly did.
So he gets some.
Yeah, he did. Thank you.
Yep.
Yeah, he did. He got that.
Yeah, and it really isn't bad beer.
Well, to me, he's just one of the most interesting figures of that time, not only because of his social beliefs, and I understand people want to say that he, you know, jailed the, what's the story that he gets in trouble for? He jailed somebody for freedom of speech or freedom of the press or something like that.
Freedom of the press.
He wasn't the only one involved in that. That gets laid on him, but he was not the only one involved.
Well,
in,
Buck stops at the top, doesn't it?
Does it?
Well, I don't know.
I don't know. Depends on, I guess, who you are and how much you like the person.
Yeah.
Because certainly does the buck stop with Thomas Jefferson and with Sally Hemings? We don't seem to lay that on him as heavy as...
As a student, I never, ever heard of that until I was in my 50s.
Right. So do we lay that on him? Not really. Do we lay that Harding had an illegitimate child? That's not really laid on him heavy.
No.
No. Matter of fact, over at the home, if you ask about it, they really don't want to talk about it. Go ahead, caller.
It's me, Ron Fine.
Oh, a little early, doctor. How are you?
I'm fine. I hope both of you are fine. I wanted to say the caller is incorrect. It's Sam Adams that had the beer named after
him. That's right.
Sam Adams.
I had to correct it when I heard it.
So truly, John Adams doesn't get any credit at all.
Yeah.
Not on that. Not on the beer.
Not on the beer. What a thing.
Dr. Feynman will be talking to you.
I'll see you in a few minutes.
Yeah, thank you. That is true. Sam Adams. You should have known that, Glenn.
He's absolutely... Well, I don't drink it.
Man, now I feel worse for John Adams than I did before. He gets no credit at all. Poor guy.
Sam Adams. It was Sam Adams.
You know, I was having a conversation with a young person the other day, 14, 15 years old, and they were talking about Shirley Temples. You know, people don't realize that was a person now. Young people.
Shirley Temple
was a person.
They don't realize.
No.
They just
it's
think
a drink.
It's a red drink.
It's a drink.
Yeah.
It's a drink.
With no alcohol in
With
it.
No alcohol.
Yeah.
They don't understand where that title came from and that was a person, and I think that's fascinating. It's kind of like payphones and things of that nature.
She was a very large politician herself. As she
I bet
older.
She weighed normal.
Well, I mean, she was very...
She was not a big woman.
She was... What was she? Governor or something like that?
She was an ambassador.
Ambassador. Yeah.
But, things get forgotten and things get changed. And who cares what these people did in their personal life?
Well, I suppose it's... I care. I think you care. I think we all care, but it shouldn't change our opinion of this.
I care, but I just don't care to the degree that somebody can either say it definitively or somebody can bat it down definitively.
Well, especially since the person that's going to bat it down doesn't know that person.
No,
never knew them. Yeah.
And I think it's all out of protectivity. I'm going to create that word.
That's an
protectivity of the person's legacy because they are regarded so good.
I think protectivity is something that's discussed in
is that one of those things?
Diseases.
Well, tell me though, if it were not even as obscure as Buchanan, let's say Andrew Jackson. If it were Andrew Jackson that people were making that. Of what people really care at this point in time.
Well, Andrew Jackson, you picked a guy that was cruel and mean.
Right, people would say, well, he had a feminine side.
Part of his deal.
He had a soft side. he had a soft side, opposed to all that anger. He had a soft side. And I just don't know why that's... You know what? I have found this. It's not necessary. I don't believe that there's all truth in all rumors, but for that to come out about Lincoln, there's something somewhere where he was a little something. Same thing with Buchanan.
How can he have possibly been a loving husband, an openly loving husband with a wife that was kind of nuts?
Maybe that was it.
Yeah.
Maybe it's protecting that he had extramarital affairs, because we've never heard that about him.
He was a really ugly president.
How did Buchanan look?
He wasn't ugly.
Well, there you go.
Handsome.
Well, at least he wins that war.
Yeah.
All right. Full day of programming ahead here on the station. Progressive Life coming up next. Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
And they said, well, you know, you can't work this anywhere up here. You have to go down to the basement where there is DC current. So I took took Pauline Trigier into the basement of this hotel to interview her there. And she is as slick an announcer as I ever saw. I mean, a designer. She's probably one of the best designers. She just took to that very well. It worked for that one. Then I did some other one sometime while I was still there. It didn't work.
Madge Cooper. Madge Guthrie.
You won't be a millionaire, but it's the best job in the world.
WWDH Radio 107.1 FM streaming.